Hi, everyone. It's Danielle with the Danielle and Brandon Show. And this is one of our episodes with our guest series where we are having people come on the show who are incredible entrepreneurs, successful business owners, have amazing journeys, and can share with us their key factors of success, but also their vulnerabilities leading up to the journey. So I'm here today with Samantha Valencia from the Valencia Team Real Estate. And I'm so excited to share her story because we've known each other for quite a while, but Samantha's story is quite incredible. So let me introduce her and then we'll get right into it. So as the driving force behind the Valencia Team Real Estate at Coldwell Banker, Samantha brings a wealth of experience and expertise to the realm of real estate. With a keen eye for market trends and an unwavering commitment to client satisfaction, she has consistently, and I'm telling you this, I'll tell you my story after, she's consistently achieved outstanding results in helping individuals and families find their dream homes. Samantha's dedication extends beyond the traditional, and she's also a visionary entrepreneur, always seeking innovative ways to elevate her profession in any industry. And again, we'll get into that. Her profound insights and proactive approach make her a true trailblazer in the industry, ensuring every client's journey is seamless and successful. And this we'll get into because they have totally readjusted the real estate industry with their Level Up method. And I'm very excited to share that. So we will be discussing all of this later in the show, along with Samantha's key factors in her professional success, her tips for having a successful, powerful relationship with her husband, and it's great, and her story leading up to all of this. So welcome to the show, Samantha. I'm so excited to have you here today.
What an introduction. Make me blush. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I've never done a podcast before, so I'm a little bit nervous to hear myself speaking, but I'm excited. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, we're excited too. And I don't want you to be nervous. Our listeners absolutely love having people on here that are sharing their raw, honest journeys. Again, as we were just saying before the podcast started, many people come on podcasts and they kind of give this fluff. They don't give the real story of their journeys. And so nobody who's getting into business really knows what to expect. And that's why they're coming to the Danielle and Brandon Show to get those real honest journeys, those real challenges and how we've all overcome them. So I met you over 6 years ago when I had just began my little cleaning business. And you were one of my first clients, which is so funny.
I remember.
You were a stay-at-home mom. Yeah.
I remember.
It
seems like not
a long
that
time ago. Long,
I know. But the time just kind of goes, doesn't it?
It does. And look at what we've both accomplished in just over 6 years. It's absolutely crazy. So yeah, 6 years ago, Samantha was a stay-at-home mom of two beautiful girls, and she had a part-time business, and she was an incredible photographer. And when I say incredible, guys, I'm talking incredible photographer. I've been a cheerleader of Samantha's journey this entire time, watching her go from a stay-at-home mom with a photography business to where she is now building her real estate empire. So I want to get started with literally how it all began with your entrepreneurial journey, because you've had one forever, even before I knew you and just from what you've told me. So I want to share that with our listeners, what you've done, where you started, what started the bug and everything up until this point. So let's go.
So I guess from the very beginning, I went to school for business. I went to Seneca for business admin. And in my last year there, I had already started kind of deciding what I wanted to do. I learned really early on that working for somebody was probably not going to be for me. Like, I had worked for the city of Brampton. I had a lot of municipal jobs. So I originally had thought that I was going to go into that sector and I wanted to run the recreation departments, creating programs. Fitness at the time was like something I was really passionate about. So in my last year of business school, I had decided to open a gym. I was 18 years old. I lived in Allison at the time. They had no gyms because it was a really small town at the time. And obviously I was so young, so eager. The bank wouldn't even give me a business loan because of my age. So my parents gave me a credit card, I'll never forget, with like $50,000 on it. And they were like, go, if you think you can do it, just do it. My parents were 100% supportive and my parents were entrepreneurs. They probably didn't know. They probably should have guided me a little bit more, because as an 18-year-old entering the business world, just finishing school, I was starting to juggle both. I got the lease, I signed a 5-year lease, and I started what we called Samantha's Body Bootcamp, which was just fitness classes. Eventually, I did that for a couple of years. It was a huge success. It was so popular. I was packed all the time. I ended up employing like 7 fitness instructors at the time. So we had classes running like all day long. And then we ended up opening a second location in Barrie. Fast forward a couple of years. Dave and I were together at the time. Like we've been together forever since I was 16. So he was throughout the whole journey, he was there. But we were getting ready to get married, I remember. And the gym was starting to take a hit with all of like the LA Fitnesses and the club brands, like the big franchises were starting to move into the areas. And we were starting to take a financial hit. That was when I had to decide what I wanted to do. I could have continued and pivoted, but to me at the time, I started to lose my passion, if that makes sense. After 5-6 years of doing fitness and teaching fitness, it's a really hard industry to be in. Like as a business owner, it's a hard business to be in. It's hyper competitive and it's like 100% your time and effort every single day. When I was younger, I thought the hustle was fun, right? Like when you're first starting your business, oh, it's sexy to be busy. It's sexy to work 80 hours, you know, to work 80 hours a week. Like, oh, you're killing it. But are you though?
Yeah.
If your business requires you to hustle to like 365 days of the year.
Yeah.
To some people, they'll say yes. As I got older, my perspective started to change and I was like, okay, I want to make more money and work less hard. So we pivoted and that's when I had decided, you know what, I was going to close the gyms and I was going to try to get pregnant. I wanted to be a mom. I needed a break. It had been a long road and I was like, you know what, I want to start a family. The stress of owning the gyms and running them was causing me like infertility. So basically our doctors were like, something has to give. You have to change something if you want this part of your life to go. So I ended up closing the gyms. Thankfully,
and that's a huge sacrifice and one that women usually have to make in business and family life.
Yeah. And it was probably the hardest year of my entire life. Originally we had started, I was like 23. Getting pregnant, you think is going to be so easy. At that age, you just think like I got married and I waited and I'm like, oh, I'm going to get pregnant when I want to get pregnant.
Yeah.
And it was so far from reality. Like it was so much harder than I thought. I was driving like every day to Oakville for fertility treatments from Alliston. It was really difficult. So ultimately the stress was outweighing the financial reward. So I made the decision and it was so hard because my pride was there. I worked so hard and I loved my gym. I loved my clients. I loved what I did, but I evolved and realized that that wasn't the future that was going to be brightest for me. So I ended up closing the gyms and fast forward, had my daughter, Mila. I was a stay-at-home mom for a couple of years, but I've always been, I don't even know how to describe me. I can't sit still. I stay-at-home mom wasn't going to work for very long. Like I'm very ambitious and I always need something to do and I need a project. So I decided randomly that I was going to try photography because I could have a flexible schedule. I obviously just had a beautiful little baby and newborn photography caught my eye immediately. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to be the best newborn photographer in this area. I mean, just the call. That's the way I am. I believe that you can be whatever you want to be. There's no reason you can't be the best at anything. There's just so I've never set a limitation on myself. So I picked up a camera. I self-taught myself. And I used my little baby as practice, so that was convenient. And I became one of the most well-known photographers in our area. And from like 1 year to 2 years, my bookings were insane. I was doing like over 1,500 shoots a year, waitlisted all the time. If I put a shoot out, like it was booked. Then I started getting into weddings, which was kind of just happened. I got published a couple times in wedding magazines and the end was history. That business that I thought was going to be a little side hustle turned into this huge thing. And it was great. And I loved it. And I was good at it. And it was fantastic until COVID came. So I would probably still
COVID.
Until COVID came. COVID obviously shut my industry down flat. We didn't get to shoot for, I want to say, like at least a year and a half, like while because photography was shut right off. Luckily, my husband always worked construction, so I never really had to worry about it too much. It didn't financially like strain us in any way. But it was also the realization that, holy shit, you really need to diversify and you need to be able to make money no matter if there's apocalypse or another COVID. Yeah. Like it was an eye-opening experience for us.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it led me to where we are now. So Dave and I had always flipped houses. Like that's what we did as a couple. We moved 10 times in 9 years. We were using our primary residence, flipping them or flipping the equity per se and moving. So that's how we built our wealth in real estate. And we did it from the minute we got married. We'd never lived in a house more than 2 years ever. So we had always did that. And we had always said we wanted to get into real estate. We wanted to be agents, but we really never had the time. We never had the time to do it. I was so busy. My photography business had me slammed all the time. My husband and I would literally trade off on the week. Like he would work Monday to Friday and I'd basically work Friday to Sunday and then I'd edit all week. So like we weren't even seeing each other. We were just crossing paths once a week basically to take care of our kids. So we never had time to pursue anything else because everything was just moving so well. There was really no time to slow down until COVID. COVID came. Yeah. The day that COVID came, I had sold my last property that I had just flipped. We had renovated the entire thing and we had just sold it. And then the lockdown came. That's like exactly how it went. Like the lockdown came the day after we sold our house. And I said to David, like, holy crap. Like, and at that time it was like the first lockdown. So like construction was shut, like everybody was home.
Yeah.
And we were like sitting
there. Like there was no emergency, what was it? Like essential or whatever.
Yeah, it was the time where it was like all shut. There was like a brief period where everybody was home for a bit. And then they did the essential workers and then they started going back out. So Dave and me were home for like a week. The day that the house sold, we literally were like, it was great, whatever. And I said, like, maybe this is the time. Maybe this is the last time we have to pay a real estate agent because we had given our real estate agent a lot of money. Like we did, like we're moving 1 to 2 times a year. And when you're doing that, your network around you will ask you for advice, your friends, your family.
Yeah.
Everybody's always like, oh, who did you use? Like, did you have a good experience? This, that, whatever. So I was giving out business to all my agents, like left, right, and center for years. So I said to Dave, maybe this is the chance. Like maybe this is God saying, this is the time. This is your time. If you wanted to do this, this is your time to do it. And so I literally signed up for the Humber Real Estate course the same day. And that was it.
I love
that. We both signed up. We used our time wisely during both the lockdowns. We hustled, finished it because I was always timing it. Like by the time we get out of this, spring market's going to hit and we can come in hot. So we hustled and that's where the Valencia team came from. It was honestly COVID. A lot of people used COVID as this negative time, but to us, we saw it as opportunity.
I love that. I love that so much because just like yourself, even our cleaning company, same thing. So many other cleaning businesses just shut down. They're like, oh, we can't get through this. Our revenue during the COVID year, even not working for, I think it was 6 months, 5 months that our company was shut down, even we doubled revenue that year, if you can believe that.
Well, I believe it.
Yeah. And so many people used it, like you said, as such a negative. We hustled through it. We got through it and we doubled. So, I mean, COVID was such a great thing, obviously, for us and for you too. And I remember seeing you doing a course, like your Instagram, right? You're doing this course. And I'm like, what is Sam up to? And I remember you posting this like post, like you and your husband in this like stunning power couple photo shoot. And I was like, okay, here we are. Like, this is Sam and Dave. This is what you guys are meant to do. Because like you said, you had this history and this experience of flipping homes. It's what you guys always did. And so now you're right in it. You're immersed in it. I mean, even down to the, like you said, the commissions you had paid other real estate agents, like you're probably looking at close to $1 million over the last 10 years that you guys have given them.
And they're worth it. Right. And I'm not going to say your real estate agent is not worth it, because they are. And their money is completely earned. And I think at the time I may have been a little bit naive too, because I thought it was way easier. Do you know what I mean? I thought the industry was easier. Yeah. I learned really fast that it's not. It's a lot harder than it looks.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were just giving out, and I gave out so much business. And I just thought, if people are coming to me, someone who has no real estate experience, but they just thought, I've always been really open on my social medias. So my social medias are, I have really genuine followers on my social media that have been with me since the day that I had the gym. So I have so many people that have followed me throughout my whole journey into motherhood, into fitness, into photography. And I have so many people that have supported me, and they've always watched what we did.
Right.
So they're always asking for advice, whether it's like, Sam, how do I lose weight? Should I buy the Peloton? Do you think it's a good idea? Do you use the Peloton? So I've always been like the biggest cheerleader for people, but in real estate, especially, because it took, when me and my husband bought our first house, we were in $50,000 worth of debt. Thanks to the downhill of my first business. When that started to change, I started, and because I was so young, I should have pulled out way earlier, but I felt this debt to my employees.
Like I continued to give them shifts and classes. And even though I was struggling, and this was part of my early years, when I was like 18, 19 years old, obviously taking on way more than I should have been. But because I felt that, commitment to them, like I was just like further and further in the hole, and like all my members loved the gym, so I would like continue every month to lose money, right? So by the time I closed the gym, I was like in $50,000 worth of debt, and we were like, holy shit, like how the hell are we gonna pay this? And that's probably why I couldn't get pregnant. The stress of it on one person was a lot. So like going back, when I look back now, real estate changed everything. We literally sat down. Yeah. We sold our house because it was the easiest way to make money, right? We sat there and we're like, if we move from this house in Beaton, sell it, make a profit, we could pay off our debt, pay off our cars, move into this house. It's cookie cutter. I call it cookie cutter if it's like a builder house. Buy a cookie cutter house, live in that for a year because they're easy to sell. And we just keep doing that until our mortgage decreases and our debts go down. We'll pay off our mortgage fast and we'll be in a $1 million house. So
we did it the first time because we were struggling and it was an easy out for us. But once we did it the first time, it became very addicting. We were like, oh, this is way easier than anticipated. So what? You have to pack, you have to pack a fucking few boxes and move on to the next place. Right. You can literally be financially free if you make a couple good moves. So we started doing that.
I love that.
And we shared the journey. I've never been somebody to hide our shit. Yeah. I was in debt. Who cares?
Yeah.
I fixed it.
Every business owner is or has been.
Yeah. They
have been. I've had my times where I've owed the government a shit ton of debt or a shit ton of money because I just did bad accounting. You know, like, you know what I mean? Like there's things that happen and you just have to roll with it and figure it out and make those decisions. So real estate's truly been your life, even in the earlier times.
Yeah. Even when I didn't know.
In every step.
Yeah. Even when I didn't know that it was huge and it changed everything for us. It changed the way we think. It changed the way that we are set up for our kids. Like our plan throughout our, like we're not putting money into RSPs and doing any of that. We're putting as much money into investments as possible because when I need that money, I will cash it out and I won't have to pay the 30% tax on it either.
Right.
So it changed everything. And it was that first step. It was that first flip and we didn't do anything to that house. That's the worst part. We probably ruined the house. We painted the cabinets a terrible color. We did all the DIY things on YouTube that you should never do. We tried all of the things in your first house. You do all the DIY things. Don't do it. But we did.
Yeah.
And we ended up making like $150,000 on that transaction just because of the timing and the way that it went. And we ended up getting out of debt. just like that, just with one transaction. And we moved to our next house, which we made more money on. And everything after that, mm-hmm. we were like, okay, we're getting the hang of this. We know what to do. Yeah. It wasn't until like our fourth or fifth move that we actually did a renovation flip. We just flipped equity.
Wow.
That's all we did. The first five was just flipping equity. And that's how we kind of landed here. Like we talked about it after like the third or fourth time. I'm like, we should be agents. We should totally be agents. Yeah. But to make that commitment and that jump at the time when you're working full time and you have so much going on and everything's going well, it's a really hard decision to make to shift. So COVID yeah. gave us the shift, and that's what was the driving force.
Yeah. Oh my God. Wow. What a story, Sam. Like, I obviously knew your journey. I did not realize that all of those things behind it. I knew you had the gym. I didn't know that's why you got rid of the gym. I thought you just got pregnant. So there's yeah. all of these things that you really never know
no.
That make those decisions. And this, they're hard when your ego and your pride is invested in these businesses, especially at a young age. You know what I mean? Like nobody wants to admit that at those young ages. So it's so amazing that one, you're sharing here, but two, you were resilient enough to make that next decision, the smart decision, and say, you know what? Business, like if you guys actually look up like the definition of business, it's literally exchanging money for both parties. If you're not exchanging money and money's not being made, why the frig do you have a business? So you made that decision because it was the right thing to do. So that's amazing. And I'm so, so, so honored that you shared that with our listeners because it's so great for them to know that everybody goes through these things and they have to make the right decisions. So I want to unpack a little bit about that story. You had mentioned, obviously, you were with Dave from such a young age, and Dave's still your husband and hopefully will be for the rest of your life.
Hopefully.
But I want to share and unpack that because as women, but also as business owners, the societal norm is basically you can't have a successful marriage and a successful business. And so I've been in situations myself where one or the other had to be chosen. And unfortunately, it ended up where I chose a successful business, my last two serious relationships, and my relationships failed. No harm on those men. They're amazing men. They were just not in the right time for me because I thought that I could only have either a successful relationship or a successful business. So I meet Sergo, who's a business owner, who's motivated, who has drive, who has ambition, just like myself. And we have an amazing relationship, amazing businesses and the business together. And so I want to unpack your relationship going through getting married at a young age, having children, going through financial hardship, going through moves, all of the stereotypical things that usually drive couples apart, how you guys kept one only, like stayed together, but also how you still have such an incredible relationship to this day. Like what are key factors in that relationship that you've learned this whole time?
I don't know. Like my husband's amazing. Like I'm like, I always say like, I'm very lucky. My husband's very supportive. He's the complete opposite of me. He says we're the same, but we're not. He's actually the opposite of me. So he's really calm and really collective, really chill. Like if you meet Dave, everybody likes Dave. He doesn't come off aggressive. Yeah. He's just very relaxed. So Dave and I can't say that it's ever been really hard. Like he's
right.
I can't honestly say that. I've never had one day of my entire life since I've met him that I thought that I wanted to be with anybody else or didn't want to be with him. He's always been my number one. Like I would do anything mm-hmm. for my husband. I'll bury the body if I got to. Like that's the kind of, I am yeah. that chick for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he could do yeah. nothing to me, nothing. So I always had the mentality, and I still believe this to this day. I always tell people when I'm talking to people or mentoring anybody, I'm like, you can have whatever you want. You want $1 million a year? Why can't you have that? You tell me yeah. why you can't have that. Right. And with Dave, just our relationship, why can't I have both? Like I just never yeah. even, I never even had the thought that I couldn't. Whatever we do, right. I think one thing that we've always done as a couple since we got married is every year we sit down and we write our goals. This is like something that we've always done. So even before business and whatever, we write our goals down as a couple. what were our goals for this year? When we were way back in the day when we were in debt, it was, we want to have a family, we want to have a baby, we want to get out of debt, we want to have a little bit of money in the bank. And like, that was our first year, let's say. Mm-hmm. And then we cross it off as we go. As we evolved, every single year, I swear to God, in November, we will sit down and we will write our goals together. He'll write his separate, his goals for himself. I'll write mine for myself, but we write our goals together first. Those are our main priorities. So even when I had my photography business, we still are setting goals together. At the end of the day, we're doing it together. I come home to him and he's going to hear my day. He's going to talk me through how I got to get through my shit on the days that are not that easy. But I think that's been a force. I think a lot of people try to live two separate lives and you can't. You just can't. You can't have two separate lives, because at somewhere down the line, you're going to start veering towards your goals, right? And it's not to say that I don't have goals personally, because I do, but we've always set goals together and we focus on those goals together. So it keeps you motivated in the same direction. As long as you're going in the same direction, you can still be doing your stuff, but you have to be going in the same direction. A lot of the times I'll talk to a lot of my girlfriends that had relationships, and if you look back, they were really goal oriented, going towards their dreams, but they had no goals as a couple. If you're not working towards something as a couple, where are you going? You have to be moving forward in some way or another. But I feel like a lot of people forget that you're trying to build a life with somebody. You need to have some goals. You need to be moving forward every year and pivoting and working. Like, each business that you throw into your mix, it's going to throw off your balance at home. But as long as you're readjusting and you're constantly, you know, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to make this, you're going to make this much, we're going to make this much, and we're going to invest in this together. We're going to buy an investment property this year, or whatever it is. Yeah. You're setting goals and moving forward together. I never leave him out of a decision. I've always kept him and I, I've always just been, we're going to do it together. Yes, this is your business, but we're going to do it together. So I think that that's kind of been a driving, the only key factor that I could really think of that we do on a yearly and daily basis is we goal set and we set up a plan for our year and we focus on doing those things together.
Wow. And that's such great advice. Honestly, I've asked so many people, right? Because it's something that I've only learned in the last 3 years of being with literally the man of my dreams, just like how you're talking about Dave. Like, well, when we first met, I was in a much different place and I thought that person was the man of my dreams. And until, just like you said, we started veering because he wanted different things for his life and I wanted different things for my life. I was very goal-oriented, very driven. He was very content with what he had and didn't want to go any further. So once that relationship fizzled out and Sergo and I got together, like before Sergo and I got together, I literally was like, who do I want to be with? What is the man that I want? And I literally was like, some kind of European background, gotta be tall. I mean, everybody's taller than me. Like, I'm tiny, but gotta be tall, gotta be like prioritizing their health. They, you know, take care of themselves. They, all of these things that I just envisioned, one, physically, and two, then personally wise or personality wise, you must be driven, have goals, want to do things with me as a couple. And then like Sergo popped out of thin air. Like, it was like, it was literally like the genie was like, here you go. Like, you deserve this now. But putting that aside, we are very much in tune with each other's goals, his business, our investments, what we're doing, what makes kind of everything go round. And so it's so refreshing to hear that you agree and have done the exact same thing. Because again, we see these women that they're like, oh, well, you know, I'm too busy to do anything for my husband or with my husband. And the husbands go, well, I'm too busy to be with my wife at home and all of these issues. And then there's no alignment. And even in a company, my biggest thing with our teams are being aligned. Everybody on the same mission to do the same thing, to be aligned. So if you are not doing that in your home life, I mean, you can't have anything successful. Your relationship won't work. So I'm so thankful that you shared that for our listeners. And I love the idea of the goal setting with them. That's so amazing. I might start doing that.
It's huge. And it will make a difference. And you We accomplish every single thing that we set out. I believe in manifestation, and I'm so into that, especially this year with real estate and the law of attraction. And if you set your goals and think about this, from a different perspective, if two people are motivated to accomplish the same thing and you're putting all of your energy, two people, and you're doing it for your family, your motivation is there. You are going to accomplish whatever the hell you say you're putting down. There's no limits, right? So I think it's huge. And I think a lot of couples don't do that. They live two separate lives, and that's great if that works for you. And that's how you have a happy marriage. I'm not judging anybody, but we have been called a power couple from the very beginning. And that's the only thing that we do. There's no secret. We are whatever we're doing, we try to align together, and we take steps towards whatever our ultimate goals are, the rest of our lives. All of those plays are going towards our goals together. It's for our life, our future. So everything we do is for the middle goal. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. So, I absolutely love that. Thanks for sharing that. So I guess this actually is a perfect intro into my next question. So you talk about your power couple with Dave, you're constantly leveling up, you're constantly reaching those goals. So that ties into your business, which I absolutely love. It's full circle. You and Dave have implemented this level up method in real estate, and we know there are thousands, if not millions, of real estate agents out there. And for the most part, they are literally all doing the same thing. They go out and get a client, and they list their home, and they maybe sell it. They maybe don't. They have to do some price reductions, blah, 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 blah. And then they make their commission and they go home. So I know firsthand, I'll be completely honest with everybody listening here, Samantha is my go-to real estate agent for my personal transactions. And I don't want to call this a fluke because Samantha really knows what she's doing. When I wanted to sell one of my condos that was an investment property, I met with Samantha, and I had a number in mind and a goal in mind. And I shared those with Samantha, and she said, well, let's do this. And I promise you, you'll get this. And I had full trust in Samantha. I mean, if you don't trust your real estate agent 1000%, you need a different real estate agent. And so I trusted Samantha explicitly, and literally 36 hours, my condo was sold, like a cash firm offer, 30-day closing. We shared champagne over Zoom to celebrate. And the funny thing is, and obviously we're not knocking any other agents, but there were two bigger condos than mine in the exact same building that were staged. Mine wasn't even staged. Samantha did AI staging online. And those condos were still sitting on there for months and didn't sell for months after. They did multiple price reductions. So my first hand experience with Samantha is she knows what she's doing. She knows markets. She knows her operations on how we're going to get these homes and these places sold. So I experienced your incredible change of the real estate industry and what you're doing to change those traditional norms to better your clients and all of the transactions. So I want you to share that on here. And basically, what does the Valencia team do that is, one, different, and two, how are you going to make those transactions so different than what they're used to? And how can they trust you 1000%? What does that look like?
I think since we started, because we started running, when we hit the ground, we were running. Mm-hmm. My previous experiences with a couple of agents of my own, when we got our license, because I moved so many times, I think that was almost an advantage to me coming into this business, because there's a lot of people that move one time in their whole life, right? They do one transaction and that's it. Maybe two if you, the average person, right? Or staying 19 to 20 years in a house. I moved 10 times before I had even got my license. So I had had experiences with different agents, and I liked some of them. I didn't like some other ones. I liked how certain people did after the transaction, because it's so much more than just slap a sign on and put it on MLS. Yeah. Anybody could do that. That's not going to sell your house. In some markets, yes, it's easy. And a lot of newbie agents made a lot of money in the beginning. It's in markets like this where it's tougher, or in buildings like yours where things were sitting You have to really be creative with how you're doing things. I think number one, I've always been really, really good at social media and marketing. That's probably my strongest strength for me. But I think people don't necessarily, other agents particularly, like you're a number, you're just a transaction, you're another seller, you're another buyer. When I take on a client, I try to put myself in your shoes because I've been there a lot of times. So me and Dave will sit down, we'll look at it, we'll look at the comps. What's it going to take? What do we got to do here? Because we know how it feels to sit on the market for 30 days. That's not a good feeling. And you start getting anxiety. You start doubting whether your property is going to sell or not. And then you start getting desperation feeling. And we don't want our clients to feel that. So we decided we were going to make a 5-step system because the transaction, doing a real estate transaction, feels really overwhelming to a lot of people. Like there's just a lot of variables. It's high, like this is what your house is worth. Here's the comparative market analysis. It's packed full of information. We're going to do drone. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're doing this. We're high negotiated. It's a lot for someone who just wants to relocate. Like it's a lot of information flying, right? And there's already an emotional part of the process that's really hard for people. It wasn't for you because it was an investment property, but there's like emotions attached to certain properties. And there's this emotional layer of like, are my kids okay? Are they going to be okay with the move? There's just so many things going on. So what I did was we created a 5-step system. We call it Level Up because Level Up can mean so many different things. That could be level up the size of your house, level up your lifestyle, level up your money, level up your investment portfolio. Level the fuck up, basically, is why we named it that. Because it could mean so much, so many things to different people. And we just broke down the system into 5 steps. Whenever I sit down with a person, I'm like, listen, stop telling me, stop talking. You're talking too much. Let's just peel it back to step one. What is the goal? I need to know where the motivation is. Why are you selling? What do you love? What do you hate about your house? Like, why are you moving? Why is right now the right time? Once we establish the goals and the vision, and I really unpack it, like I want to know deep down, like I want to know exactly what the motivation is. Where are you financially sitting? What is this going to do if you move? How are the kids going to, like we need to know the vision. Because once I know that, I literally will act like it's my own house. Because that's just the way I am. Like your investment becomes my investment and I genuinely care. Because I've been there. I've been in the $50,000 worth of debt. And that one move changed my whole life. So I'm almost too emotionally invested sometimes because we will treat your house like it is our house. Like the same thing I did with your condo. I acted like that was my investment. And I was like, how are we going to get this in the fastest way possible? Because she needs her money in 30 days. And then you just start and you start building the plan from there. So our first step is going to be goals and vision. The second step is financials. Once we pass the goals and visions, we're going to help you with financials. So we're going to figure out, okay, this is what your house is worth. We can price it strategically to sell insanely fast, which is the strategy of underlisting in most cases. And then we go through finding financing for our clients. So if our clients are new and they don't have any mortgage brokers or whatever, we will reach out to certain ones and give out some referrals. Once we get past financials, then we move on to the listing. Once everybody is on the same page and we just go step by step by step. And anytime somebody starts, because you only get anxiety if you're thinking about the past or you're thinking about the future, right? That's where anxiety comes from. When we're worried about something that happened or something that's going to happen, you don't have anxiety if you think about today. So jumping steps in a real estate transaction is what makes people lose their shit. You're like, hey, if we break it down in 5 steps, we promise you will make it to step 5. You will be in your new house, but you won't have all the anxiety along the way. So becoming a real estate agent, we really realized that a lot of it is just being a therapist. That's what it is, honest to God. Yeah. Like you're a divorce therapist, you're a therapist to the kids, it's like an emotional journey. And if you can just simplify each step and just break it down, like we're going to focus on this right now. Once we finish with this, we're going to move on to this. And we created a 5-step system, and it's been flawless, and everybody loves it. And our clients have a fantastic approach to the whole experience. And then our 5th step is just you pack, we lift. So once we do all the transactions, everyone buys, we'll pay for your movers, and we do all the heavy lifting with the movers that we've used personally for our whole life. So that's kind of what the level up method is, without going into so much detail. It's just a 5-step system from start to finish.
Just listening to you share this. Yes, you did that during my whole transaction. I never once questioned, doubted. I mean, I'm also one of those people where I delegate to people that I know are strong, and I just trust them explicitly. But you're so right. Every single step of my transaction with you was completely flawless. Even when we were looking at other investments for myself before we moved here, even that process was just flawless. Like, you literally said, what do you want to make on this investment? Do you want to flip this investment? Like, is this a cash flow investment? Like, what are we looking at here? And Samantha really just knows exactly what questions to ask to actually take care of her clients, rather than just, like you said, you're a number, let's just make your house and I'll just make my commission, or sell your house and I'll make my commission. So I totally recognize that. And honestly, that's the best thing I've heard come out of a real estate agent's mouth. You truly are amazing. And honestly, guys, like I said, I use Samantha for everything, real estate. She's my go-to. Well, the team, but Samantha, of course, she is the driving force behind the Valencia team. So I love that you shared that. So anybody looking for a fantastic real estate agent, Samantha will be the person to call. Couple last things here, Sam. Would you mind sharing with us your key factors for your successes this far? Personal, professional, don't care. What are some key factors you have to share with everybody listening?
I think you need to do whatever you want to do. If you think that you want to start a business, start the business. If you want to be a mom, have babies. Just do whatever you want to do. There's no ceiling. There's no reason why some people are millionaires and other people are not. The millionaire just took the step. You have to take steps to be successful. And yes, you need to fail sometimes. Failing is probably my number one thing. If I didn't fail at my first business, I wouldn't have took the step to my second business, and it wouldn't have put me on the path that I had to be on. So it's okay to fail. Don't get discouraged if the first idea you have isn't the winner. And don't be afraid to try new things. Because if you don't, you're just going to get stuck in your routine. And that's the number one reason I feel like people don't move. They never try to aspire to move into a better house. They don't ever try to change jobs, because people get really comfortable where they are and they're scared to take steps. If you don't take steps, you're never going to get anywhere. So I think for me and just the mom boss that I am, kids stop me. I have 2 kids. I run a successful business with my husband now, and he gets to stay with us every day because he got to change his whole career because of the steps we made. It was a really scary move for our family to put all of our eggs in this basket, but we're killing it and it's great. And our whole life, if I look back in the 10 years, if you said this was going to be my life, where I was going to Hawaii for 3 weeks and then Florida for 5 weeks after that, I just didn't picture us here so quickly. Mm-hmm. So take the steps, fail, fuck it, who cares?
Yeah.
But try new things and don't let anybody tell you you can't do something. That is my pet peeve. When I hear my daughter say I can't do something, I lose my shit. You can be anything, and you can have whatever income you want. It's pick what you want, make a plan, and take the steps. So,
oh my God. Wow. What a way to end this conversation with those key factors. If anybody listening to this episode when it's out is not inspired, motivated, and just wants to go out there and make $1 million tomorrow, they're in the wrong place. You truly are such a powerful, high vibrating person. I mean, you and I've gotten along since day one because we've both been on that level. Even when we were in different times in our lives, we were always going and going and going after the next thing. We've always found a way to get back together through our journey. And now you're in real estate and we just opened a mortgage brokerage. So like, crazy. You know, just again, we're back at that point together. So there you go, everyone. The amazing mom, wife, friend, business owner, and real estate agent, Samantha Valencia. Thank you so much for being on the show, sharing your journey and wisdom with our listeners. And for everyone wanting an amazing real estate experience, you can find Samantha and the Valencia team's information in the show notes of this episode. And if you haven't yet, don't forget to follow our show so you don't miss any more of our episodes and leave us a review. Thanks, everyone. Any final words, Sam?
Thanks, guys. That's it.
Go out there and kill it.
I think I talked enough.
All right, everyone. There you go, guys. Enjoy the show. And thanks again for listening. Have a good one.